Welcome to GalacticConnection.com. We are committed to expanding perspectives, bringing forth cutting-edge information and education, and preparing and assisting the planet for the up-and-coming events associated with stepping out of this 3D matrix. We intend to connect minds and hearts around the globe in order to attain global unity and galactic acceptance. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we will bring you the most current topics in the news, as well as education, research, healing information, and out-of-this-world perspectives regarding a variety of topics. For example, you can look forward to discussions on global communities, governments, countries, planets, solar systems, ancient civilizations, and beyond, in addition to metaphysical individuals, angels, extraterrestrials, UFOs, galactic brotherhoods, high councils, and ascended masters. Our guests are experts in these fields, and our GalacticConnection.com show promises to be very thought-provoking.
Let us be together, let us progress and triumph, let us gain energy and momentum. Lead us to clarity, feeling of unity, let there be peace, peace, peace and wonder.
Hello, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters from GalacticConnection.com, and today is April 2nd, 2013. Today, I have a very special guest, Stephen D. Kelly. Stephen, say hello.
Hi, Alexandra. Hi, everybody out there.
Stephen's got a very intriguing background. He's from Southern California. Woo-hoo. And his background is in precision electro-optics field. Woo, that sounds very intriguing. And he's had quite a few experiences with the three-letter agencies, including NSA and a run-in with Ollie North, apparently. His background involves Billy Meyer and Semyasi, I believe, right? And building beam ships and laser aiming systems. I mean, it just goes on and on. For more information on his background, please go ahead and reach us at galacticconnection.com on the BBS tab page. But today I thought what we would start out with, Stephen, is what you and I had discussed before, which is how we're seeing the reactions in people with this increase in energies. And I was wondering, you know, you were talking a little bit about your new experience with the Awake and Aware.
Oh, sure.
And you were talking a little bit about, you know, some things that are showing up there. I've certainly noticed in the lightworker community, people are just feeling super, super oppressed, you know, because of the compression of light on the planet. What is your feeling about the archonic activity, if you want to refer to it as that?
Probably a combination of many, many factors. To be honest with you, a lot of people, you know, here it is April now, but a lot of people have been saying that March was just a crazy month with all sorts of crazy energy. And I was looking at, you know, kind of looking at the different things that were going on, and I thought, well, okay, we're just having a really, really powerful full moon, and people are being affected by that. And I'm thinking, no, it's got to be a lot more than that. It's got a, you know, combination of chemtrail activity, some electronic manipulation, possibly entities like you suggested, but got to be a whole lot. But we can look at some of these little stories and things, and I'm sure everybody's got some experiences of people that they were dealing with here just in the last few days to illustrate that.
You know, you brought up something very interesting, the chemtrail activity. How do you feel that that is impacting humanity right now from the standpoint of their emotions?
Well, you know, the chemtrails have certain ingredients. The aluminum and barium certainly have an immediate effect on the health and mental qualities, naturally clogging up your, calcifying your pineal glands and what have you. But they also are used in conjunction with the scalar weapons and the HARP type systems, kind of like a part A and a part B. And so as you are absorbing these materials and it's affecting your health, it's also allowing you to be more susceptible to this electronic manipulation that's being used at the same time. So, and I suspect that they've been changing the recipe here recently, stepping up the delivery, and also changing the recipe to incorporate more psychotropic substances and what have you.
You know, I think you've got a point there, because I noticed that the way in which the chemtrails are being sprayed, it looks different. Have you noticed that? They've been fanning it differently.
Well, they seem to be a lot lower. I don't know if you
Yeah. I have definitely noticed that. But also the way in which they're doing it seems to be different.
Well, I know that they do different. You know, over where I'm at, a lot of these guys are flying out of Vandenberg, which is on the west coast right there by Point Magoo. So we see a lot of this stuff coming from the general area of L.A. flying eastward. Now, I know, you know, other people are probably noticing patterns, you know, which are probably also connected to where these planes are taking off from. So it's almost like if I, you know, I'd like to photograph this stuff whenever, you know, I see activity. I'll go out in the front of the house and photograph it. And I usually generally photograph the same general area just for a reference. And it's very similar. It seems like they've got the wind patterns down. They know how this stuff is going to migrate, and they know where to put it for maximum spread. So it's definitely
helpful. I noticed when I was in the plane once that, you know, you see these layers of dense, thick chemtrail stuff, you know, just pockets over the cities. And then between the cities, it's completely clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just baffles me that no one in the weather system is like really standing up and complaining about this. You know?
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, how can they not notice what's going on when they're reporting on the weather every single day? And then, you know, also the pilots themselves that are spraying the stuff, how are they not thinking to themselves, what am I doing here?
Well, you know, they're getting paid well, and, you know, that's unfortunate that greed is, you know, people are so hard up to make a living and to have job security that they're willing to compromise their morals and integrity to do these things.
Yeah, I agree. Well, getting back to the original topic at hand, so what do you feel you're seeing? You know, because I did feel that March was a crazy month, and I did hear it pretty much everywhere, that people just kind of hunkered down. Anything they thought they'd worked on, there was still more stuff coming up. Very strange reactions from people. A lot of people just kind of losing it or being very confrontative and when they normally never were.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing a lot of that. And I definitely, you know, I feel like in the spiritual community, we tend to not want to look at this because we have this thing where, oh, if we think about it or if we look at it, then we create it.
Mm-hmm. We give
and
energy to it, yeah.
It give energy to it. And the thing is, it's there. I mean, we are in an Armageddon. We especially the light workers, we are being targeted. More so because our lights are brighter. And so I just went wondering what you thought about that.
Well, I can certainly see that. But what you brought up here is actually two issues that we need to discuss. And that is the relationship between the love and light crowd, the conspiracy theorist types, the so-called truther movement, and all these various groups that, you know, we're all working towards the same cause, but we have different approaches and different philosophies.
Agreed.
We need to discuss that. The other issue, oh my goodness. See, I got lost on a tangent. What was the other issue?
I don't know.
God.
I think we were talking about maybe the belief system of the spiritual community.
Oh, right. The giving the energy. Yeah.
Giving away the energy.
Well, let's focus on that. Well, okay. In, you know, what I've seen, okay, I'm fall under a couple different categories. You know, I'm, you know, I came kind of from the dark side, you know, with before I got involved with the love and light community. So I was considered somewhat of an outsider. Also, I have a Christian background, which doesn't jive with, you know, with metaphysics, but,
no, it's very different.
Yeah. Well, hey, I can make it work, you know.
That's true. Hey, if it floats your boat, go for it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important. You know, you got to have an open mind and you got to be able to be aware of all these things. But I have certainly seen many people in the Love and Light crowd who feel that all of this negativity stuff needs to be absolutely ignored because, you know, more energy makes it grow. And my feeling is that that kind of an attitude actually allows for us in the community to be manipulated, because this kind of gives those the bad guys free rein to run amok without having a very powerful segment of opposition involved in fighting them.
Exactly. That's exactly what I feel. I feel that it's created a complacency, mm-hmm. you know, to the point where if we use the word warrior, people are immediately saying, oh, my God, you're just out to have a war and, you know, carry guns and get into battle and fighting and everything. But no, it's, you know.
Very, very important point. Let's address that. that's a great one. Okay. You know, my background coming out of this electro-optics business and laser weapon systems and all this sort of thing, it was very law enforcement, military related. And I was in the business of developing systems that these guys were using to go out and kill people. And back in the day, we looked at that as anti-terrorism, and it was somewhat noble. Okay, all of this has changed. Now, when I became aware of some of the nastiness with the, you know, the guys under the Getty, and the Templars and the yeah. Bilderbergers and all that sort of thing, I was somewhat militant, and I felt that it was my purpose was to actually be involved in combating those entities and physically going to war with them. And it wasn't until I got into the metaphysical community and really started pursuing the psychic skills that I came to realize is that that's exactly what they want us to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's very important that we are not used as tools. And, you know, I get back to that Christianity thing. There's a line in Ecclesiastics, I think it is, where they say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood and all that. Well, you know, what does that mean? That basically means is that we're all humans. We're not here, you know, the evil is not in each other. We're fighting with each other and killing each other does not solve the problem. That just feeds the monster.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not about guns. It's not about killing the fellow humans. Our most powerful weapon in this battle is the truth and is our voices.
Correct. And standing in our authority.
Right.
Which we have not been accustomed to doing because we've been under such a master-slave programming.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, the other thing, you know, and I try to empower people. I want to teach everyone to enhance their psychic skills because this will and also teach them to be more service to others oriented and, you know, get on that path, because that is the best protection that we have against this evil is staying on the good side and building our so-called spiritual armor or our psychic armor. Which protects us from that kind of manipulation.
And, you know, that brings me to a point. I have found that I've really had to up my protection. And I was curious, with your psychic development and skills that you've, you know, come to know through your whole experience with NSA and pulling out of that and, mm-hmm. you know, your walk, what are you using right now to, you know, increase your protection?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, you have to ask for the protection. I mean, naturally, again, you know, like I said, I pray, I ask for it, and I started doing this a long time ago. But when you get on the path and you decide that you want to devote yourself to the cause and to serving your fellow humans and to helping to educate people and protect them and deliver them from the horrible stuff that's waiting for us, You basically ask for permission, you know, and that's what I did. I'd say, allow me to be of service. Allow me to follow this path. Allow me to do these things and give me the protection in the armor in order to be successful in doing these things. So that's important. And the other thing that's important is that we have our auras. We have our magnetic fields around us. And we generate a type of energy which I like to call gravity. And gravity can repel or it can attract. And what I believe is that when we become primarily service to others orientated, our energy is more of a repelling energy. In other words, we're pushing outward. We're giving out gravity as opposed to sucking in the gravity. So it's almost like a service to self person is actually becomes a gravity user, whereas a service to others person becomes a gravity giver. And that energy is our shield. And this is what protects us from these other negative influences, electronic or physical. And, you know, and when we are around other people and we're close to other people and we're large groups of people, our energies and our auras mix together. And this is how we become influenced and corrupted by some of the negative energies around us. And this is why it's important that we build up this spiritual armor to protect us from that. So,
yeah, it's so important. I think it's more important now. It's kind of my thing lately to get this message out to as many people as I can, mm-hmm. that we need to be more vigilant, I think is the word, mm-hmm. Than we have in the past, because of the fact that there is a compression of light, because of the fact that we're nearing that shift. You know, we've come to the end of all these cycles. I mean, this goes back to many, many ancient scripts. It's not about looking for the negative. It's not about focusing on the negative. It's just being alert,
right,
and aware, mm-hmm. you know, and vigilant that you don't get caught off guard.
I think that we're all responsible for not being ignorant. Okay.
Correct.
You know, a lot of, yeah, and people that go out there and they think, well, I'm not going to focus on that and I'm not aware and nobody taught me and, you know, I wasn't exposed to this information. Well, that's no excuse. You know, we are responsible for our own brains and we are responsible for doing our own homework and being aware. And that's part of the enlightenment process.
Yes. Yes. And also increasing the manner in which you perceive it. So if you could, you know, that's another thing about being a light warrior, where basically what I mean is you're putting your armor on, you're standing in your authority, you're not allowing someone to penetrate your field, mm-hmm. and do things that you are out of control, you know.
Well, there's another few aspects that I think are important that we should probably touch real quick on. With respect to this whole business of trying to become enlightened and walking the path and becoming a light worker, a light warrior, et cetera. And that is this whole fear thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fear is such a big tool of the bad guys to use against us. You know, it's like all the people right now, they're worrying, oh, North Korea this and North Korea that and Iran and all those terrorists and everything else. It is such a farce.
Yes.
You know, and that overcoming that fear is way up there. It's way up on the list in order to be able to do anything. You know?
Well, you know, I blog like every day and I'm starting to see the patterns even in those news stories. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a place now where I'm stepping back and going, okay, who's spinning this story? You know,
yeah.
It's so obvious anymore that it's all about keeping people in this fear that, you know, a nuclear bomb's about to explode. And I honestly believe we are so past that point. You know, the days of Hiroshima, the fact that we impacted not only this planet, but our entire solar system and galaxy, and who knows, the galaxies beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I do really feel that there has been some definite intervention in that area because it's affected more than just ourselves.
Right. Yeah, you know? That's right. There's entities out there that are not going to allow that to happen.
That's what I feel too.
And you know, when people talk about this whole business with ICBMs and all that, that is so preposterous considering that whole technology has been obsolete. We don't use missiles anymore. Those are dinosaurs. We have charged energy weapons and scalar weapons and HARP and all these things, which are so much more devastating than a silly rocket with a nuke on board.
Exactly. And then, and you know, I remember I dated a guy that was in the war in 92, mm-hmm. Persian Gulf. And I remember him telling me a story of how the soldiers would just stand around and they would laugh because a Scud missile would be sent over to their neck of the woods at 4 o'clock in the afternoon every single day, mm-hmm. and they would send it in the same location. It would land in the same location every day. And they laughed because they would always shoot it out of the sky and they would think, oh, these guys are such dummies. Well, you know, now what they're realizing is a bunch of those guys have come back. He's no longer alive. Mm. And they were all completely affected by the biowarfare that was attached to that.
Mm. Yeah, courtesy of the U.S.
Exactly, courtesy of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to step back and say, come on, who is feeding this fear? Yeah. You know, who's really our enemy here?
Well, you know, that brings us to we could jump right into some extraterrestrial stuff if you want.
Oh, I'd love to.
Well, yeah. Okay. You know, real quick, if you look at all the aliens out there, they can be divided into two camps politically, the service to self entities and the service to others entities, you know, the good guys and the bad guys, if you want, black hats, white hats. The service to self entities have essentially been ruling the earth for many, many, many epochs, you know, beyond the time that man has been here. Now, between the two of these guys, the service to self entities, especially when we talk about them like the reptoids and the grays and entities like that, the non-human type entities, they are a higher level than us, and they have physical requirements and they have spiritual requirements nutritionally. And they get their nutrition, or they are actually getting like a food from energy, and that energy is called loosh. That's what they call it, L-O-O-S-H.
Interesting.
And loosh is actually human emotional or negative human emotional psychic energy. And what is that?
Is that like ectoplasm?
Well, it's what we give off when we are in fear, when we are anger, when we are hating, when we are sad, when we are heartbroken and despairing, and all of these negative emotions. So when you look at the televisions and how they're constantly pumping us full of violence and negativity and what have you, these are all intended to generate loosh. So we're like cattle. You know, we're providing a blood product, which of course they know, you know, they harvest that they eat, but they also use us to harvest this negative human emotion. And it's so important to be aware of this, because you know, you talk about doing battle with these entities. If you want to, you know, I don't like to use the word kill, but if you want to eliminate a reptoid or a service to self entity, you do it with love. That's that's the opposite of loosh.
The most powerful tool on the planet.
And it's very, very powerful. Yep.
Okay, so give everybody an example of how you would do that. If you knew that, if you knew you were in a room and you had some real creepy individual walk in that room, which I've been privy to that as well, what would you do immediately?
Well, first of all, these guys, they like to hang out in places like bars and such, they're going to have a large supply of that energy at hand. And okay, you're standing there, you notice there's some person looking at you from across the room, and you just know in your gut that this is not right. This is a reptile. This is a shapeshifter, whatever. What do? You beam love at that person. You just think in your mind, in your heart, how much you love that person or whatever it is, and they will actually disappear.
Whoa.
Yeah, it will make them disappear.
Interesting.
They will go away. So, yeah, very, very powerful.
I do know that repels them big time, because can't handle it, because they're of a – isn't it because they're of a lower vibration?
Well, because it drains their energy. It's poisonous to them.
Oh, it drains their energy. That's an interesting concept.
Sure. It's like sucking it right out of them.
Well, you know, I was reading your bio, and you made a comment in here about – you were working on inventing weapons to use against aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And it says that it became obvious that the only way that was going to work is through human psychic abilities. Can you explain more about what you meant with that?
Well, this was, let's see, this was during the Clinton administration, and this was you know, up until that time, they weren't really aware of me. I had some associations with them. I had some dealings with them through my brother, but we had not reached the point to where they actually knew that I was the one that was actually feeding all this information to them through my brother. And after they basically figured out who I was and what the connection was, you know, between the two of us, they decide, well, we need to use these people. We need to utilize these people. We need to get them on our team. And, you know, the approach was, hey, we're all humans. We're not Nazis. We're not Jews. We're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're all Earth humans, and we're all here to help each other and protect the world from alien invasion and malevolent entities. And I thought, you know, I bought it. I thought, okay, fine. I'll forget about the politics for a while, and we'll let's work together and see what we can do to protect the Earth. And so I, you know, they these guys are thinking, you know, I had been working with, you know, lasers and advanced systems, or, you know, plasma beam. I was working on a plasma beam weapon and some stuff like that. And they were trying to get me, you know, to develop some of this stuff for dealing with the aliens. And I thought about it and thought about it, and I realized, well, okay, you've got entities that are, you know, hundreds, at least hundreds of years ahead of us, you know, technologically. And I realized that there was nothing that we could make, mechanical, electronic, chemical, whatever, that could have any effect on these guys, because it would they would have already come up with some sort of a way around it. So I realized that, or I came to realize that the human brain and our spiritual or our psychic skills was the only way to go. And I first started out thinking, okay, what maybe I can incorporate some sort of a spirituality into a conventional weapon system. I mean, I thought of everything. I thought, oh, gee, what if we write scripture on bullets? What if we put, you know, holy water and weapons, and, you know, I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, attacking vampires kind of thing, which is sort of what we're doing here. But then I realized that it was all in the brain. You know, the only real power that we had, the thing that really made humans special, was our psychic ability and our gifts that were you know, given by the Creator. So that's when I kind of stopped focusing on the lasers and the technology, and I decided to join up, you know, metaphysical groups and learn everything I could, and surround myself with other psychics and learn their skills and develop those skills.
And so, what do you feel is the most successful psychic skill that you've learned thus far?
Well.
The $64 million question.
I'm not going to say that on air. But, well, let's just say this. First of all, I got into the Love and Light community. All right. I joined some groups that were psychic groups, and I started learning everything I could about the, you know, the esoteric and all that psychic stuff. And I realized real quick that going to war, doing battle with these guys, you know, human on human, was really not where it's at. And the real answer was to serve the victim. Instead of trying to go to war and fight against the perceived oppressor, I realize that that's not the answer. What we really do, we ignore the bad guys and we focus on the victims and the potential victims, and we teach them, and we minimize their pain, we minimize their suffering, and we give them the tools and we empower them. And so that's what really started the process. Now, back to what I learned. First of all, when you increase your psychic skills, and we're going to talk about, you know, exercises people can do on how to do that, one of the first things that's really cool that becomes evident is that you gain the ability to heal. Okay, yeah. you can do healing. And people think, oh, that's nonsense, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if you look at it from a quantum physics standpoint, and you begin to understand how our bodies really work, and how the universe works with respect to soft energy versus what we consider matter, it's not magic. I mean, you know, we look at this and go, it's magic, and I like to say magic because that's a great way of explaining what it is, but It's physics. It's nothing more than physics. Now, I teach Reiki, which is a healing mode.
Quiet, girl.
And she thinks
what
it's
is,
her
what
time
is your bird's name?
That's Grace.
Grace.
Grace the Gray. Yeah, she hears me talking. She thinks she needs to be talking too.
How cute.
But okay, back to the healing thing. When I teach the healing, I like to show people that this is not some kind of a Buddhist thing. This is not mumbo jumbo and voodoo. There is physics involved, and I like to show. For instance, I like to talk about Tesla because I think if you understand Tesla, it helps you to understand the nature of the energy and the universe and how these things work. And it really is technical. I know we could devote a whole show to that because it's...
Yeah, we should in the future because I really do... I was in bed for 3 years with a severe car accident, and I was in pain pretty much for 11 years, 24/7.
Wow.
And the one thing I can tell you that I learned, and I did a massive amount. I mean, like I was just every day of my life, I was looking for ways to get out of pain.
Right.
And the immense amount of healings that I received and the immense amount of assistance from practitioners from all over the place really opened me up to the perception, wow, I'm actually a wounded healer myself.
Mm-hmm.
And by just the mere belief that I too could do that opened up a lot of opportunities. And I think the other thing is, that absolute commitment to keep your light field pristine and clean,
mm-hmm.
To be your, your devil's advocate, if your mind, if it goes into another direction and you start thinking thoughts that are not for your best good, you must have the strength within and the will and the wisdom to see what that's all about.
Right.
I mean, it once you follow your thoughts, you can oftentimes directly trace them to an individual in the room.
Mm-hmm.
To a past life event.
Right.
And actually, there was one experience where I had Maya fascia work done. Are you familiar with that?
That's plastic surgery?
No. This is where they do very deeply massage work around the joints of the body.
Oh, okay.
And it is excruciating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I came home. I was super, super sore. I woke up the next day. I was so depressed, Stephen. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I just wanted to. I wanted to commit suicide. And that is not me.
Uh-huh.
And I stood there, and of course, I was capable of pulling myself out of my body and observing, what was going on with me. And it was the biggest aha moment. I realized that all that stuff. It's one of the most successful ways to uproot and let go of very deep-seated childhood, trauma, pain, cellular memory, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I realized at that point, I wasn't expressing it. It wasn't my stuff. It was my mother's.
Oh, wow.
Because my mom had had some, experiences with that. And all of a sudden, it was like a big aha. So, psychic abilities do come from commitment and practice if you're not born with them, where the veil has not been lifted.
Right.
Well,
that trauma that you went through with the accident and being in bed and the, near life or near death experiences and all that, I'm sure that basically kick-started your skills also.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that amplified it. Yeah, for sure.
But I do remember, I had warnings three times before the accident.
Wow.
And, that pointed out to me that I had always had this clairaudient thing going on, but never really realized it. I just thought it was myself,
Well, I do want to address the anger issue.
Yes.
You're talking about the keeping yourself pure. I mean, first of all, none of us are saints. Now, I am sure not a saint. I don't claim to be.
Neither am I.
Yeah, if somebody comes out and they dig up some dirt and they tell you I did this and I did that, I'm going to say, yeah, I admit it. I did that. But this is the thing. when you have anger, just like fear or any of these negative emotions, you block your chi flow. You know, the energy will not move through you if you are holding on to these anger issues. And that is like a...
It's like missing a gift.
Well, yeah, it's like jamming a plug into one of your chakras. It's going to completely stop that flow of chi. So you can't be a healer and be angry at people or be upset about something that somebody did to you in the past. You know, and I'll tell you, in Reiki, they have a philosophy. There's Reiki philosophies, and I think they call it the five Reiki principles. And I'm probably not going to repeat them correctly, but essentially what they say, and this is a good rule of thumb, you know, for people who want to pursue the psychic skills, and that is forget about the past, don't stop worrying about the future, do everything you can to be honest and in your integrity when things that you work and say. And I'm not sure if this is in there, but the other thing is do everything you can to serve others without expectation of compensation.
Good point.
And these are all very, very important tools.
Yeah.
You know, because so if you're holding on to baggage, oh, my parents didn't treat me properly, I didn't get all the things I should have had when I was growing up, or you're worried about your house payment, or you know, where are you going to go on vacation or whatever stupid thing, you're not going to be able to, you're not focusing on the now, you know, you're not living in the present, and you're not going to be able to help anybody. So those are big things. Another thing that's kind of important is this whole concept of becoming an observer.
Yes.
Now, and I want to talk about that because that's really important in order to understand what's going on in the world. And to separate yourself emotionally from issues. Okay, so like in other words, the bad guys out there use polarity to control us. They're constantly dividing us into, you know, different sides of an issue, yin and yang. And this is the nature of this third density, this level, this dimension that we're on right now. Everything, and I mean everything, is a polarity. There's two sides to everything, and they use that. So if you can be aware of that, and you can, and if you reject this whole left-right dual polarity nonsense, and you kind of rise yourself above that, then you can see how contrived all that is, and you really put yourself in a better position. And there's another thing, and that is this whole business with loving your neighbors. And loving everybody else.
Yes.
If we realize that all of us are essentially the same person, we all come from source. We're all connected. We're essentially all the same person, taking turns looking out at the world through each other's eyes, and we're all having experiences, and it's the accumulation of all those experiences that create the reality that we understand. So if you can learn that, if you can learn to hate actions and not people, and to put yourself in the other one's position, it's going to really go a long ways to helping you become happy and to lose the fear and to serving others.
Yeah, and the fact that I. You know, if you're around somebody that isn't particularly friendly or easy to be around, let's just say, you know, I'll oftentimes literally try to see their divine spark.
Right.
So that I can see them as, you know, one of the many that are walking on the planet that are of God. And then also realizing that they have all the same needs we do. And that through all the incredible, like you said, millions of years of programming, they have possibly developed discordant, you know, responses to that, you know, to not having enough love, or to being abandoned, or to being tortured in however many lifetimes, or to be, you know what I mean? I mean, it could be a countless number of things.
Well, I'll tell you, let me just tell you what really woke me up. And this is at the beginning of my book. I tell this story because this was my big epiphany. Back in the 90s, I think it was 1990, when I was dealing with these Ollie North gang, the NSA people, I was exposed to the really, really nasty side of our government, per se. You know, I hate to even call it the government because I ultimately this is much larger than just one country. But I realized, you know, I saw these this nasty, nasty stuff that they were doing to our so-called enemies, and I realized that, wait a minute, we, the good guys, have evil, and those bad guys are not so bad. And I, that's when I realized that it's all shades of gray. There's no such thing as black and white. There's no pure good. There's no pure evil. We all share certain amounts of both sides.
Correct.
So that's an important lesson to learn in order to overcome this whole polarity thing. That's you know, I'll tell you, it was that experience that really allowed me to get a concept of what the yin and yang was really all about.
Well, and I also think it's really important, you know, you were talking about being an observer.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, too, if one is really striving to, you know, expand consciousness, it's important to be open to the integration of a new way of perceiving something. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. You know, when you're observing, if you're willing to observe it from 15 different angles,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a much better chance of staying in a neutral position and not taking those polarizations.
Right.
You know, not looking at, oh, God, he's all that or he's all this or what have you. And it makes your life so much easier to cope with.
Mm-hmm.
You
yep.
know?
Very much. Very much so.
But, hey, I have a question totally off the subject.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious. Do you feel that there is a full-blown war going on in our skies between the aliens themselves, the different factions of aliens, number one?
Mm-hmm.
And number two, do you feel that what's going on now, the so-called power grab, is that basically the alien agendas now that are representing certain individual countries or continents? What's your take on that?
Yeah, very much so. There is a war going on right now. For the most part, we don't see it because the battle is actually being fought between entities that are on a higher level of reality than we are. They're actually fourth density. We're on a third density. They're on a fourth density. The chemtrails are part of that. You know, we can, yeah, that's the chemtrails are certainly part of this.
Interesting.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Earth has essentially been under the control of these service-to-self entities that we refer to as the Draco-Reptilians. For quite some time. We are aware of the good guys, the so-called, you know, the service to other types, which would be represented by the Pleiadians and the humanoid
Ashtar
types.
Command.
Right, Ashtar Command, Galactic Federation, and all that sort of thing. we don't really know much about them per se because the service to other entities or the STOs keep to themselves. They don't interfere with us. And so, and this is important to think about because, you know, with a few exceptions, let's say like Billy Meyer, they've left us alone. And so when you have channels and things that are talking to us and preparing us for the future, you got to take that with a grain of salt. You observe what they have to say. You know, you listen to the information. Very often it's good information, but no matter how much it resonates with you, you got to maintain that observer status and not become attached to it. That's very, very important because we don't have the skills and the tools yet to really discern the truth properly. We're too easily manipulated. So
yeah,
very
you know,
important
it's,
skill.
It's not to cut you off, Stephen, but it's so interesting that you bring this up because my last interview was with Cobra.
Uh-huh.
And he is so big on, he says something like, you know, 98% of all the channelings at least are not going to be, you know, pure, clean, and true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course our minds and our thought forms and our belief systems are so strong that they will oftentimes impact, you know, what we're going to hear and think. Mm-hmm. So, or, you know, see and think. Doesn't, I'm not excluding the fact that it doesn't have some beneficial information and that it doesn't give you a beneficial direction. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. It's like we really need to stay in a point of just kind of looking at it for what it is.
Yeah, and I think that the entities that we would consider the good guys, you know, your Galactic Federation, et cetera, they would say the same thing.
Yeah.
They would advise us to use our own intuition and our own filters and belief systems to process this information.
Well, I mean, do you feel, you know, I had read somewhere that, like, the Asian countries, for example, supposedly they are kind of really dialed in with what's called the elders, which are supposedly a more positive faction. And of course, there are other factions that are kind of battling it out right now. I was just wondering if you've heard any more details on that.
I have heard that is true. I have heard that the Asian cultures are certainly higher developed with respect to spiritual areas, and that is important. I mean, I'm not suggesting that they're superior to the Western societies in any way, but if you look at, say, like the Buddhist philosophies and even some of the Hindu philosophies and what have you, they're very close to the concepts that we all are eventually going to have to embrace in order to move forward.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, of course, where the two meet is going to be the perfect world, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The East and the West.
Now, I don't want to upset any the Christians out there. I don't want to tell them it's like, oh, you got to become Buddhist or something to understand what's going on. But I like to use that story about the blind men and the elephant. You know, I mean, all these religions, you know, they're all blind men and they're all describing the elephant by feeling different parts of the elephant. And they're all correct in certain respects. So, you know, but that gets back to that whole business with there's a little bit of truth in everything. Just like there's a little bit of falsehood in everything. So you got to don't say, oh, I'm not going to read that book because, you know, my church told me that it's wrong. You're not going to get anywhere with that kind of attitude. You got to absorb it all. And that's what enlightenment is. You got to absorb it all.
I so agree. In fact, I was going to ask you, have you ever had any personal encounters with the reptoids and the grays?
You know, I've had encounters with humans that I had to wonder if they were actually humans because of some of the things they did or the way they acted and what have you.
True, because they have the human suit on, don't they?
That's right. And you know, and you can always kind of tell when they're not, they haven't had it on for very long. they like it a lot.
In fact, did you see that video of the guard,
yeah,
you know, at Obama's? What did you think of that?
You know, I have spent a lot of time looking at that because you know, Anthony Sanchez over at Scepter was really, really good. We spent a whole night on that one subject. And it's interesting. I mean, if you look at the guy, he certainly does look kind of like a gray human hybrid or something like that. But again, you know, as an observer, I'm not going to say de facto that's an alien or whatever. I wasn't there. I haven't met the person. But it's pretty creepy.
Not only that, it was just the way that he was scanning the audience.
Oh, yeah.
It was not very human-like.
No.
At all.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, huh?
It was almost like Arnold, you know. Schwarzenegger, I swear to God.
Well, he looked like he didn't have any ears. He had a really pretty jawline and his bald head and everything.
It was totally a trip.
Yeah,
well, so what do you think as far as, you know, we're probably going to have to tie this up pretty soon, but what do you feel is the most important thing to leave people with today as far as, you know, how to cope with these energies, you know, what awareness to have regarding these energies that are, because from what I'm reading, tell me what you think, mm-hmm, you know, we're talking like between now and the end of the year, possibly, this is not going to let up right now.
Yeah. Well, this is good. Let's get into that real quick. First of all, everybody, there's going to be more crap coming our way, all right? And get, don't lose faith and don't lose hope, because this is part of the process. There's going to be, it's going to get really, really dark before we see the light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, it's not going to be over until it seems like it can't get any worse. So people need to be aware of that. They need to get over the fear. They need to spread that out. They need to, the sooner they get over it, the sooner they're going to be able to help everyone else deal with it and prepare. So you know, back to this this psychic thing. Real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Do everything you can to help your fellow human and animals and whatnot with service to others as much as possible without expectation of compensation. Work on the ego. Very important. And that doesn't mean it's not okay to love yourself and think you're great, because self-love is important. But at the same time, stop worrying about what other people think. Stop worrying about, you know, the people belittling you over your belief system. And if you're going to go out there and you're going to start trying to spread the word and share your truth and things that you've learned, don't get upset if people start thinking that you're nuts or that you've gone off the deep end, because that's part of the process. And don't be surprised if people in your family, good friends, people who have been close to you for a long time, suddenly don't want to have anything to do with you, because that's part of the process also.
Absolutely.
We're going to separate. People are going to go in one direction and the other people are going to go in the other direction. And that's just the way it is. So get used to it. So be humble, serve others, control the ego, and have fun.
Have fun while you're at it. It's so important to realize that as you're separating yourself from those people that have been a main part of your life, that's actually kind of like an initiation.
Yep.
You know, how well you pull yourself through that and are able to look at it and say, okay, I understand this. And it again, it's all about pulling yourself out of your body almost. You know, I literally kind of see myself walking out of my body, looking at myself, observing the reality of what's going on and saying, okay, this isn't, you know, getting out of that emotional trigger body.
Yep.
And being able to say, okay, I need to have total faith in the universe. I love this by Jennifer Howe. She says, let the universe be the general manager, not you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
well, learn to go with the flow too.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yeah,
it'll take you where you need to be.
I agree.
Wow, we're almost out of time. That was quick, huh?
It was way too quick.
Darn. Well, before we sign off, I gotta talk about this event this weekend that I'm so excited about.
I was gonna ask you also, you know, tell them about your new book.
Oh yes. Okay. All right. Well, my book is Lasers, Cavers, and Magic. And, of course, Lasers was my business. Cavers are the underground guys. Come on, Grace, settle down. And the Magic, of course, is the metaphysics and the spirituality and all that. And it's available on lulu.com right now. I'm going to probably be doing a second edition here real soon I'm going to try to probably get it on Amazon or something. But in the meantime, you know, I don't buy the book. If I don't get any money for it, it's okay. I just want you guys to get the information. You know, I'm not in this for the money. I'm in here. I'm doing this because I'm trying to help people and move us all forward. That's really what it's all about.
Well, I tell you what, we'll put that information up on galacticconnection.com if you want. Yeah, you'll be able to get the word out that way as well.
Well, let me tell you about this thing this weekend. This is really going to be a lot of fun. All right? You're not that far away. If you aren't, you ought to think about coming down here, because this is going to be really cool.
It's funny. Astrid called, and I'm going to be coming up Friday night.
Yeah?
I don't know if you're going to be around. Maybe we could hook up.
I expect to see Astrid when she's in town. So, you know, maybe you guys could hook up and then we can hang out or something.
That'd be really fun.
Of course, I got to hang out with everybody, you know.
Oh, what a drag.
Oh no. It comes with the territory. I am meet and greet, you know. That means, you know, I got to meet and greet everyone. So, but I'm looking forward to it. But let me just tell you about the event. It's the Awake and Aware conference, and it's being put on, of course, by Project Camelot. It's going to be at the Glendale Embassy Suites And, you know, obviously it costs money to get in there, but if you come on Friday night, you can get in there for free, and we're having a party in the evening where you can meet and greet everybody, and there's no charge for that. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so now we are running out of time, but everybody, you know, you can get this information. I'll go ahead and try to put it up on my site, which is galacticconnection.com. And I want to thank Stephen for coming today. We will definitely be bringing him back on for some other really juicy topics like the Knights Templar and some other cool things. And we just thank you for listening. You guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you next Tuesday. Take care.
Everybody.
Bye.